Sundek, once again, you are too kind. I happen to be present at the creation, but cannot take any significant credit for all that he describes. What I can take partial credit for is some of the work we've done at NHSN, National Healthcare Safety Network, using FinVADS. And our use of FinVADS is less dynamic than the use case that Arun just outlined. We really use FinVADS for two main purposes. One, we have a web app that supports NHSN that is a web-based surveillance system used in healthcare facilities. Then the web app is bolted to an earlier version of FinVADS, I think 2.3. So it's the source of vocabulary for users of the web application. But then in addition to the web application, we're developing electronic messaging and clinical document architecture solutions that will enable electronic reporting to NHSN by healthcare facilities that participate in the system. And we're using FinVADS as the vocabulary web service for the implementers of both our message implementation guides and our CDA implementation guides. So these implementers are enabling electronic messages carrying microbiology results, admission discharge transfer, and pharmacy data to CDC from sending sites. And a different set of implementers are enabling infection control surveillance systems that exist commercially that have some functionality very similar to CDC's web-based app to generate reports using this standard file format called clinical document architecture so that their users in hospitals don't have to key data in to NHSN. In many states, there is state-level public reporting of healthcare-associated infection data, and in hospitals that are using commercial systems, we have no interest in putting them out of business, so we're in the business of enabling users of those systems to report to NHSN without having to do duplicate data entry. Here is an example of a standard HL7 version 2.5 message, and just to illustrate some of where the standard vocabulary fits in, and I'll go to my cheat sheet here. We've got three message segments illustrated, the OBR, or order or observation request, at the top. In the middle is the OBX, or the observation result, and the bottom is the SPM, or specimen segment. And in that bottom specimen segment, we've got a SNOMED code referring to a stool specimen, and we've got an HL7 code for normal, and then a LOINC code for Clostridium difficile toxin. So this is a message carrying content using HL7 version 2.5 with these standard vocabularies and the particular concepts. And what we're doing is enabling implementers of this 2.5.1 message spec, which is very similar to the 2.5 message spec for electronic reporting of reportable conditions from healthcare to state and local health. We're enabling the implementers to have access to the value sets from which these concepts can be drawn and used in the message generation that they enable. Now, in NHSN, we're also, as I mentioned, using clinical document architecture as a solution to enable vendor systems that hospital infection control specialists use to monitor infections to also report to NHSN. And in our CDA project, we've produced CDA implementation guidance that's passed HL7 ballot and is now in draft standard for trial use form. And we include in the implementation guidance specifications for reporting HAI, healthcare-associated infections, to NHSN, for example, surgical site infections data that are shown here. The data requirements are specified in NHSN data collection forms, a snippet of which is in the background there for SSI. And wherever possible, what we've done in the implementation guidance and in FinVADS is taken standard terminology and codes to represent NHSN concepts, such as SNOMED terms for purulent drainage or material, redness, heat, fever, that are among the clinical criteria specified in NHSN for surgical site infections. Now, not in all instances are there SNOMED codes, and in some instances we've had to continue to use NHSN local terminology, such as NHSN terms for pain or tenderness. The concept of pain or tenderness is not a concept that exists in SNOMED. Similarly, incision deliberately opened by a surgeon is not a concept that exists in SNOMED. So we've got NHSN terms for those and some and localized swelling as well. Localized swelling. And what we've done is we've created a large NHSN local code system. Actually, the creator of that code system is Margaret Marshburn, sitting in Road 4 in the middle, wearing a very smart suit today. Now, another example of our use of standard vocabulary, again, with a NHSN data collection form in the background, a somewhat more complex example, is where we're able to express the notions of an antimicrobial susceptibility of a pathogen using standard terminology. SNOMED for the microorganism, coagulase negative staphylococci. LOINC for the antimicrobial susceptibility test, a test of susceptibility to vancomycin. NHL7 for susceptibility test results, sensitive, susceptible, indeterminate, resistant, not specified. And so we are taking advantage in implementations both of the message and CDA of the data structures that HL7 provides to allow combinations of concepts that together express a more complex concept. We have not used pre-coordination or post-coordination strategies in this context. Instead, we're taking advantage of CDA and message syntax in conjunction with the standard vocabulary. Now, in some instances, we've gone to the next step with respect to NHSN local codes and brought them to the attention of standard vocabulary services like SNOMED. So our intent in the work that we're doing, as I've said, wherever possible, is to use existing terminology. But where those terms aren't available, we're proposing selectively the introduction of terms, and we've worked closely with the FIN Vocabulary Services, SYNDAC, and colleagues to enable this to happen. So two examples are the concepts of bloodstream infection and surgical site infection that we submitted to SNOMED in early 2008 and that were accepted by SNOMED after some interesting discussion back and forth about whether those are unique concepts that weren't already expressed in SNOMED. Well, SNOMED finally included them beginning in July of 2008. So lessons learned for other surveillance efforts are that concerted work is needed to develop and implement standard vocabulary specifications for electronic reporting to public health surveillance systems. I've focused on developing implementation guidance and specifications associated with for vocabulary. Additional implementation challenges include mapping local to standard codes at source systems, a challenge not to be underestimated in its labor intensivity, and versioning the vocabularies that implementers are instructed to use. A second lesson is that surveillance programs are well positioned not only to use standard vocabularies, but to contribute to them. And I think that's a very important obligation that we have when we find that there isn't content coverage to do what we can to help fill it. And finally, and I'd say this is a particularly important and timely message, the complexities of vocabulary authoring, maintenance, access, and distribution underscore the importance of supporting shared resources like FinVADS. In these times of rapid change at CDC, it's very important that the functionality of FinVADS, this very well-developed and shared service, be maintained. And in its current and future releases, it's incumbent upon those of us in public health to help FinVADS continue to meet the needs of multiple programs and to obviate the need for duplicative vocabulary services that might otherwise arise as agency-level informatics resources are distributed to programs. Thank you very much. I'll take questions later. right?
Yeah, but NHSN program is one of the example you can see. They support three different types of HL7 implementation guides, 2.5 and version 3 messaging and CDA. So FinVADS really supports all these different kinds of messaging. It's quite complex. That's why we left most of these things at the implementation guide, and we left and it supports all the information you need for messaging. Is everything is there in FinVADS, all the metadata you needed. Thank you, Dan. Our next speaker is from API Info. Actually, API Info uses the FinVADS content too, actually. So they download the content from FinVADS and actually uses them in the API Info application. We have David Nish. Actually, he can give a brief overview of API Info and how it's being used. We also heard about API Info from yesterday's keynote. So I think most of us know about API Info. Thank you, David.
Oh, Sundar. Good afternoon. Sundak asked me to provide just a few slides about how Epi Info is implemented in how the vocabulary is implemented in Epi Info. It's little known and kind of maybe not well marketed, the fact that when we came out with version 3.5.1, we provided the ability to link Epi Info to a standard vocabulary. And the way that can be linked in, when you install Epi Info, there's a database that comes with the default implementation. And up on the Tools menu, you can click on Install Vocabulary, and then that will bring up an open dialog where you click on the FinVSMDB folder file, which is where the sample vocabulary exists. And I stress the fact that this is a sample vocabulary because when Epi Info was released in August of 2008, that was the version of the vocabulary that we had at the time. So one of the things that we do with Epi Info is, you know, Epi Info is often used as, in training, and we learn through example. And so this is an example database of how one might implement a standard vocabulary. But you know, Epi Info is often used all around the world, and so people outside the United States may have a different vocabulary that they may need to access, and so using this example, they can implement their vocabulary in perhaps a World Health Organization standard or something. So one would select the Epi Info FinVS MDB vocabulary database, and then when that is done, the vocabulary button on the left here becomes enabled, and clicking on the vocabulary button, you would see a list of all the concepts and vocabulary code sets that are available. And from there, one can click and drag the code set from the left over onto the canvas when you're creating your view in MakeView. And when you drop the code set onto the view and you let go of the mouse, it'll open up the field definition dialog. The race will be the same as the name on the concept, the code set, and it'll recommend a field name. You can adjust the font as you like to be consistent with the rest of your questionnaire, the questions on your view. And then it'll show up on the view as a drop-down list box. And the drop-down list box has all the views. In this example, I'm using the race field, so you've got race there under the demographics category. And so then you can click and drag other code sets as you need them, adjust the size of the fields. And then behind the scenes, what's happening is Epi Info is taking the data, the code table from the vocabulary database, and copying that directly into your vocabulary, directly into your Epi Info project. So once that's done, you can disconnect or, you know, let go of the original vocabulary database and just, you know, continue to use your system or distribute it among your other investigators on your team. There is some work that needs to be done, and as I mentioned, this is kind of an example. And as we use it, we learn how things can be done better. And one of the things that is, you know, some room for improvement is that some of these code sets have literally thousands of codes that are available, not really suitable for a drop-down list box. So there's some work I'm going to get with Sundak after the Finn conference, and we'll work together to kind of maybe provide an updated vocabulary database with more manageable codes that can be used for the for going on in the future. H1N1, for example, is, you know, maybe a code set related to that. And that's what I have. Thank you.
Thank you, David. And the other feature actually is, I think I mentioned briefly, is FinVADS has a web services enabled. It's open actually, so anybody can use the FinVADS web services from any public health surveillance application to actually interact with FinVADS. And I think FinMSS is one of the, I think it'll be very heavily used in the laboratory messaging, especially in ELR. They're struggling with the mapping of the local codes to the LOIN codes and SNOMED codes. I think we are trying to work very closely with the FinMSS group and see how this can be used along with the ELR group and FLIP and other kind of laboratory messaging. So if you have any questions, you can ask any of the presenters. Otherwise, we'll move on to the next presentation.
Thanks, Sundak. The last presentation today will be given by Stephen Eady. The title is A Distributed Terminology Development Environment, FinVADS Universal Authoring Framework, or UAF. Steve is a software engineer. He has been in charge of the FinVADS project, the lead software engineer for FinVADS. Before this, he has worked for AT&T, IBM, and VeriSign. Steve, let's see.
I have to go and get them from my server.
So while he's getting the presentation, I mean, if anybody has any questions to any of the presentations, we can speak.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
And then we also have a FinVADS
user
group.
I turned this off, so you can just talk into this.
Kishore is the project manager. Do you want to kind of briefly say about the FinVADS users group?
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Kishore Medhur. I'm the project manager for FinVADS, Northrop Grumman contractor. The FinVADS brochure is going around. If you haven't picked up your copy, please pick it up from the desk on the back. We launched the user group in August. The first meeting went very well. There were about 95 participants. We did a demo of FinVADS and collected a lot of feedback on how we can improve the surveys and what users really want to see in future versions of FinVADS. We would like to make it a recurring event. The next VADS users group is going to happen sometime in November, and we'll send out an announcement using the FinVS mailbox, and the mailing address, the email address is also in the brochure here. If you are already not on our mailing list and would like to be notified of our user group events, please let us know via finvs.cdc.gov mailbox. We'll be happy to keep you in the loop. Thanks, Nick.
I'll be ready in one moment. I apologize. We had a mix-up with the slides.
And we are also working closely with other federal agencies, not only within CDC. We work closely with EPA, because there's a lot of environmental-related things going on, so we bring in, we not necessarily have all their content here, but we provide the basic information. We also try to connect to their systems. In other ways, FinVADS can be really a vocabulary portal. We provide the minimum information, but for detailed information, we provide connections to our hyperlinks to the other systems, other federal systems. So I just want to have a sense of how many people have used FinVADS or heard about FinVADS. Thank you. So one of the challenges we are having is the training on FinVAD's application is there, but I think more than training on FinVAD's, I think people are struggling with the training of these code systems. So trying to balance between these two, actually. So let us know which way you want it to go. We can alternate in the users group meeting or even monthly or bi-weekly meeting, actually. We can certainly help you with those.
Hi, I'm Steve Eady. I'm the application developer for the FinVADS team, and I apologize for the delay. We originally had scheduled for a data modeler to give this presentation, but I will be filling in and trying to do a just job. The universal authoring framework is basically the editing and authoring portion, excuse me, the microphone's over here. It's the editing and authoring portion of the FinVAD system. What you've seen so far is the access and distribution of the vocabulary. The FinVAD's website and all the partners that we've seen speak have been about consuming the byproducts of the FinVAD system, the vocabulary and the SDOs and all the information that goes into it, about how to retrieve that information via the web service and via the website and how it's used in the application. The universal authoring piece is how we get information into the system. The UAF is actually, The UAF is an application. It is a web application that allows users to author the information. It allows the support of multiple users. Right now, the FinVADS team, and especially Sundak, I know, is heavily involved with the creation of value sets, and it is an eventual goal, once we get the UAF in piece, in place, to try to distribute the responsibility of vocabulary, possibly to letting other people create value sets and code systems directly into the VAD system, rather than trying to, make certain types of requests. Is that right, Sundak? I mean, okay. The UAF provides versioning capability for vocabulary objects. So the versioning that you saw demonstrated in the web application would be facilitated by the UAF, so that as you create new versions of value sets and changes are made by bringing new versions of code systems in, that it would automatically support the updating of version views and value sets within our systems. And that provides the historical tracking of updates, because every time a change is made, a change event is created. And I'm sorry, I'll explain more about that in a minute. And as I said down here, it allows users who are more responsible for their own vocabulary to isolate that work and pass it into the system. The benefits of the UAF is it improves the ability to release vocabulary updates in a more frequent timetable. So the more collaboration that we have going on, the quicker turnaround time we're going to have in being able to put out new releases of content. It helped minimize the cost of vocabulary maintenance, because that ties into, again, having a more broad user base for authoring the vocabulary. It provides a consistent mechanism for vocabulary updates. So once you have authored something in the FinVAD system, you will have the ability to do things like set up templates for the type of information that you're importing into the system, or creating by setting up certain types of templates in your editor. And that allows you to set up consistent vocabulary. It is a distributed environment that will allow multiple vocabulary specialists to author at the same time. There's a governance process involved with authoring, so even though the system allows several people to work on it, there's not really a possibility of perhaps corrupting or conflicting data to get into the system, because a governance process will be facilitated by the application to allow the data to be looked at and approved before it's actually published into the FinVADS database. The UAF is built on standards listed here. I'm, of course, more familiar with the CTS standards and 508 standards from the website, but we follow the CHI standards and the ISO 11179 standards. The architecture of the UAF is highlighted in this portion in the green environment over here. The two portions on the right are existing VADS web application. We have the VADS web app that Sundac listed right here, and these are third-party applications or people who integrate with us through our web service. Our application and our web service both hit our service layer, which communicate with our published database. Now, the UAF is a web application that will speak to an authoring service layer that allow not only the reading but the creation of content with this web service, and that goes into an authoring database. Now, until the data is approved and set to a published status, until that happens, the data is actually transferred over from the authoring database into the published database, and that allows the collaboration space to happen before the data is published for consumption. This is a service architecture diagram that basically outlines some of the pieces of our system, beginning with the data layer. As was outlined earlier, we have a SQL Server database that is accessed through stored procedures, views, and scripts. We have a component layer where we model this information, and then we have a service layer with which we use to access this information. And then our business layer is essentially the applications that access the data using the service layer, and then of course the applications that are built on top of this business layer. The UAF information model is presented here. Might be a little bit hard to read, but if you access the FinVADS website on finvads.cdc.gov, there's a help section which has a detailed explanation of all the major components of our data model system. If you were to understand the inner workings, you can see how value set concepts are created from code system concepts, because as was mentioned by Sundac earlier, a lot of people just look at codes and code sets and they don't really understand maybe the difference, the way that we model a value set versus a code system. And a better look at our data model might help understand how some of those relationships exist. The UAF functionality overview. The UAF application currently allows the creation of most of the domain objects that you see in the FinVADS website, value sets, views, which as listed here are functional groupings like message mapping guides, program vocabulary, application areas, groups, which of course are domain or subject areas, other things in their system. And there are future focus areas for us to be able to have things like ontologies supported. We currently support different types of relationship types within our database, and we hope to expand that and be able to support the creation of forms and questions and support these focus areas so that people can help use the system better to get the type of information that they're looking for faster and easier. The UAF supports a change event model. Now, the change event model is, excuse me, I accidentally clicked. The change event model is one that pretty much enables the collaborative working space, and it also also enables the distributed way that the UAF is going to work. So if somebody is going to edit or author a particular area of vocabulary, a change event is created that locks that particular a piece of vocabulary. Like if someone goes and edits a value set, like maybe the address type value set, well, that will become locked by that user, so that if that is being edited, it will show up in another person's instance of the UAF as currently being in an edited state, and another user can't make any changes to that until the previous user has committed those changes and until those changes have been approved and published. This change event creation process provides a historical record of all changes made to the objects over time. Now, this, I'm going to skip down here to the fact that these change events are stored in XML. The incremental storage of these changes in XML and by isolating these together as change events is going to really help out our partners that are using VADS Lite, because right now when we publish content, let me touch on what VADS Lite is. VADS Lite is essentially a standalone version of VADS. If you take the VADS database and you take our API, there are certain partners who want to use that in a local environment rather than having to access our web services. Well, that's VADS Lite. Well, historically, it's been a problem to get fresh content updated to somebody using VADS Lite, because they would have to get a new version of VADS Lite, and that would mean installing a new version of a database in order to get new content. But with the change event system, there will be the ability to essentially get a delta of the difference between their copy of the FinVADS databases and the status of the current up-to-date published VADS database, so that whether that's 2 change events or 15 change events, those can be retrieved via the web service, or those can be just distributed in an XML file via email or disk or however somebody wants to get it. And those can be applied to a database without having to go through the process of having to replace perhaps a local instance of the database. Again, this also supports change management, because each change event is approved through our governance process. And as I've said, each change is stored as a delta. The UAF supports import functionality. And given time, I'm actually going to demonstrate this and talk about it. And so I'm going to skip the slide because I will be showing you that page. Right now, I'm going to do that too. There will be the UAF consists of 3 major components. There is what's called the editor, and the editor is more of what you would think of traditional editor. I want to create a value set. I want to edit a value set concept. The editor lets you do that on a one-by-one basis in the system, and you can do that with all of the objects in our system, whereas the other 2 pieces of our application consist of an import tool, which allows the bulk import of lots of data. So if a new code system comes out, and let's say that SNOMED puts out 300,000 new concepts, it's a little troublesome to key those in by hand, and so the import tool allows you to set up a template for automating the import of data into our system. And this can be configured to import any data into the system, and I'm going to demonstrate that piece. And then there's also the publish piece, which I'm going to demonstrate as well. The UAF editor will show the impact of changes and other objects within the editor, so that if you go to make a change, perhaps to a code system that has a value set that uses concepts from that code system, the UAF editor will indicate that there is a dependency there and that a change may be required in other places within the vocabulary space. We've already talked about automatically locking the object, create a new version, and allows value sets to include codes from multiple code systems. I'm just trying to make use of my time here. Okay, the publish process, the vocabulary updates are bundled into change events, and the processing of these is called the publish process. So when you create changes to something like, let's say you have a code system and you want to add 100 alternate designations for a code system. So you have states and you have to add another type of designation, like maybe a postal code, and you also want to add some relationship types. Maybe there's some type of hierarchy that's more of a, some regional relationship. You can add both types of changes, and you can bundle those together as one change event, so that as a person authoring the data, you can indicate whether those changes should be looked at as one change for the process of governance, or looked at as three separate changes. And the governance process assists in that. Change events are only processed after they have been reviewed and approved. And the publish mechanism provides a status window that allows users to evaluate all changes that are part of a change event. So this will let you see the impact of the changes that you have made. So even if you might not have approval to approve a change, you still have the ability to look at what impacts it might have and see a delta of the changes on the system that you've made in the publish screen. And we're going to see that quickly to follow. The security will be in the system. There will be role-based security and user-based security. Role-based security is basically, do you have the ability to edit something? Do you have the ability to author something? And the role-based security has to do with, you know, what your role is. But then there's also user-based security, because you might have a vocabulary special security for data that is part of one value set, but maybe not another. So you might need to combine, the user-based security and the role-based securities will be combined to make sure that you can only edit the data that you are allowed to edit. And now we're getting a little bit more into my realm, and that's the demonstration of the UAF. Okay, so this is actually a very early beta of our authoring tool. We hope to have this complete and ready for usage. It's our goal to have it done by the end of this year. As we've said, there are three major components to the Universal Authoring Tool. There's the editor space, the import space, and the publish space. And the import space is where you would go to import data into the FinVADS area. So we'll select File Import, and we're presented with an option. Do we want to import vocabulary data for code systems or value sets? Well, just for example, we'll say, okay, we'll implement for code systems. So we can select the type of code system that we want to implement data for. So perhaps we'll select country, since it's the first on our list. And as you can see, it's a beta. We haven't alphabetized the list yet. But the vocabulary object type is the type of vocabulary that you're importing. Are you importing concepts into the system, alternate designations, relationships, and extended properties? We'll show you concepts first. When you import a concept, you have the ability to create a new template, which is how you're going to map the data into the system. You can use an existing template, or you can copy a template. Say that you might have just done an import of maybe another code system like response flag, it's a possibility that the template you set up for that might have a similar setup because it might have come from the same SDO. We're going to create a new template. Let me see if this keyboard will reach. So I'll call this template the Fin Demo, and we will want to choose a data import file. And I've set up a couple of sample files here. This is a sample file for importing some concepts. Now, these are some concepts that I downloaded from the FinVAD systems, and this is just a text file that's tab delimited that has a row of header names and then some data that we might want to import into the system. So I'll select an import file. That file was delimited by tabs. We're not going to have any text qualifiers. And the file does contain a header row, so we'll select that. If it didn't contain a header row, then you might see some other options, another screen for allowing you to easily identify the columns. That'll make more sense here in a minute. I'll click Next. And now we see that we're importing information for the country code system. There's the name of our mapping template. And these are all the fields that we have in the FinVAD system. Concept code, concept name, SDO preferred designation, etc. And you can choose, these are the imported column names from the import file. So you can map concept code to concept code that is being imported from the import file. Concept name can go to concept name. And let's say that you had a concept name. Actually, this is a better example. Let's say that in your import file, only about half of the values had a preferred concept names. It's possible to give a default value. So you could just say preferred concept name would be Earth. Bad example, but I'm trying to think of a country. If it didn't have one, what would you put? So this would essentially allow you to put a default value for anything that you're importing, so that if you want to set up some data import, you don't have to worry about trying to fill out every single little detail. You can put global values in here. And you can also map data into the system in a little bit more complex way. You can create a data map for it so that if you specify a column, like HL7 table 396 code, you can create a simple data map for the data coming in from the template. And what this is if you say, if the input file data value is 123, which might be a code, you want the UAF data to be active. And maybe if it's 456, you want it to be disabled, for example. But maybe you have mapping requirements that are a little bit more complex. You can come in here to set up a complex data mapping, and you can actually map multiple input columns into a UAF column. Like for instance, let's say that you had a field in the UAF that you wanted to be, you know, something hyphen something, maybe even preceded by the word HL7. Well, you could come in here and type in HL7, add text, and you might want the concept code, and then maybe a dash, and then maybe the code system OID column. And these came from the import file. And here we get a preview of the type of data that's going to get mapped into the system. This lists the elements, and this lists how it's going to get stored in VADs. So if you have something that you want to import into the system that might come from multiple columns of your import file, but you might want to move it into one field into the VAD space, you have the ability to do that with one of these complex data mappings. Okay, And once you set up all the mappings, you can initiate the import. And if you search for an import on the status screen, you can search by VADS object type, VADS object name, and you can even select date ranges. And all of your imports that you've previously done will show up, and it will have the status of that import here. Now, are we pressed for time?
It's 5 minutes as fast as
we okay, all right, thank you. Now, I just want to show one more thing. When you import a code system, let's say that instead of doing a concept that we were importing perhaps a relationship, actually, let me do alternate designation since I know that will work. Create new. One thing I wanted to demonstrate here was the fact that when you're also doing an import for a file, it's possible that your import file might have one row that corresponds to several values in the VADS systems. For instance, you could have an import file where every row has two alternate designations. So therefore, this is the same layout that we saw. Actually, not the same layout. This is a layout that goes horizontal that lets you add multiple mappings. So you see that we have two mappings here, so that every line in the file that's imported will now have two alternate designations mapped in. I'm going to go to publish real quick. You have the ability to filter the import files too, but I'm going to go to publish because this is where we see a little bit more of the governance space. When you go to publish, you can search all the change events by the search options here. I'm just going to search for all. So we've just got one example really set up. There's the country that was imported. You can output a report of all of these, but let's just go to view the details. So when you're viewing the details of a change event, it's going to list all of the types of vocabularies, metadata that's being included in this change event, like whether it's concepts, relationships, alternate designations. And when you view each one, it will show you a before and after for each one of the changes. So for this example, perhaps a definition has been added to the concept. And we see there's a revision date now. And this will allow an approver to come in here and make sure that this all looks good. And when that happens, the user will have the ability to click a button to publish. But I'm not logged in with the rights to do that right now, so I can only return to a previous screen. But you can also output any of these pages into a report, which is an Excel file, which has the status information, and it'll allow you to see the same information that is on the web page in the Excel spreadsheet here, in case you want to run any searches or queries that might be useful to have it in an Excel spreadsheet if you want to order by a particular column or something of that nature. And so this is a sneak peek of our UAF tool, and eventually we're going to have the editor piece hooked up too. If you go there right now, you're just going to see a placeholder. But the import and publish functionality are nearly complete, and we hope to have everyone using this soon. And if there's any questions, I can answer either about the UAF, or if you have any technical questions about FinVADS itself, I'd be more than happy to address them. And I'm sure Sundat could help me out if there's other things that you would like to ask as well. Thank you. Do you want to?
I think this editor is mainly for entering the data into the PIN-BADS. I think you are asking more for mapping, which is more of a PIN-MSS system that does the mapping between the local codes to the standard codes. So those kind of mapping is done by the PIN-MSS.
The editor would allow you to create a new value set in the PIN-BADS system that is comprised of codes and concepts that can be from multiple code systems, just as some other people have demonstrated. So it does allow that. Yeah.
We do have on Thursday, actually, have a detailed tutorial for half a day, actually. So on Thursday morning, if anybody wants to know more in detail about the web services and everything else, we have a detailed tutorial.
Yeah.
Feel free to register those.
Yeah, and that's a little plug there. The Thursday workshop is actually going to be it's a little bit more on the technical side, hands-on. I mean, it's going to be sort of down and dirty into the nuts and bolts of, you know, I want to show off the services and how people can consume them and integrate with PIN-BADS a little bit. And so that's going to take up a large part of the time, but we're going to also talk about the data model and some things that Sundac's going to be talking about as well. Yep.
All right, we may have maybe time for one more question for any of the presenters today. Don't see any takers. So then I'll just remind everyone to complete your session evaluations if you want continuing education credit. And thank all of our presenters today for very interesting presentations.